word and open our ears, eyes, and heart to receive with an impartation to be about your business and truth, Spirit, and empower, bringing glory to your name and expanding your kingdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And to God be the glory. Everybody got your pads and your pencils and your swords. Glory to God. I would like to turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Glory to God. Daddy is good. Isaiah 58. Hallelujah. I believe that's it. Hallelujah. Is everybody there?
Amen.
In verse 6. I know we've heard this before, but I believe we need to review this. Hallelujah. In fact, let's start it. Let's go back up a little bit. Hallelujah. And verse 3. And it states, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Now they were saying, why have we fasted and God has not seen? Who do you think told them that? Amen. The voice of the stranger. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast, this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah, indeed you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. In other words, they are exploiting themselves. Hi, I'm fasting this day. Amen. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Now he's bringing them to the fast that he has chosen. Now we know that fasting is a representation of afflicting the soul. In other words, putting it under submission. It's chastening the soul. The Bible says that fasting is a representation of chastening the soul. But one of the things we know that fasting, because our soul has desires, doesn't it? It wants. But our flesh says, feed me, doesn't it? Our soul says, woe is me. Because our soul is made of the mind, the will, and the emotions. So the emotions are always that big going, oh man, I feel this. And of course it coordinates with the mind, because when the mind says, I feel this, the emotions go, yeah, I do. So we see that fasting is a representation of removing something or not partaking of something that brings pleasure. Now, there's a difference between godly pleasure and ungodly pleasure. Amen. So we see fasting is also chastening your flesh, isn't it? Because your flesh is the one, fasting is of food is chastening your flesh. Because your flesh is always saying, feed me. Amen. But your soul is always saying, woe is me. And your spirit is always saying, let me. Okay. So let's go on, because the Lord is now explaining, this is the fast that I have chosen. And in verse 6, it says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Who breaks every yoke? We do. We do. He said, you break every yoke. What's he talking about? Break every yoke off of somebody else besides yourself. Hello? Now let's go on. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Well, we know that If you're fasting food, you're not out sharing bread. I mean, you know, you're just not, you know. So we see here that he's talking about another fast. He's talking about a fast of the world. Does everybody get that? He's talking about the fast from the world. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Now listen, he's asking me and you to do something, isn't it? Remember, he's always asking me and you to do something so he can bring something. Because there is a spiritual law in everything. And the spiritual law is stated in Corinthians, and it states, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Amen? So this spiritual law is a constant in our life. In every circumstance, situation, everything you do. That's why we must do all things unto the Lord. Our mind and our focus must always be, how can I bring glory to the name of the Lord and expand His kingdom? That's where we are in Christ. If we're not in Christ, our desires and our selfishness is for our pleasure. What can I do to satisfy myself? What can I do to make myself look good? What can I do? You know, you may do things for God, but the motive may be trying to bring glory to your own self. Amen? Okay, so we see here, he's saying, isn't this the fast that I'm asking you to do? The fasting of self, the fasting of the world. The fast is to go out and feed, clothe, shelter, declare the gospel. Jesus said that, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? To preach the gospel, to proclaim liberty, to loose those that are bound by oppressions and those that are hurting hearts. Jesus was anointed to go out and to set people free. And that's what God has called me and you to do. And that's what he's talking about right here. He says, then, in verse 9 again, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. It also states, in verse 8, it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth, what? Speedily, many are waiting for a healing. And it may be a healing physical, it may be an emotional, it may be a mental. It may be a healing between you and an individual. You don't know. But he says he'll move speedily when you begin to move. When you begin to move. Move on what? Move on faith. Move on trust. Move on so that you can get out of the realm of self, selfishness, pride, arrogance, greed. These are the things that we need to be fasting from, and that's the ways of the world. And we know that even right now in the United States, the great stronghold in this country is greed. Greed is a big stronghold. It's called covetousness. That's a representation of it. In fact, if you read the Ten Commandments, all the Ten Commandments, the conclusion is, thou shalt not covet. That's the conclusion of all the Ten Commandments. Because if you're not covet, if you're not covetousness or coveting, then you're not breaking any of those laws, are you? Then you're not concerned about me, myself, and I, which we know is the trinity of Satan. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about something this morning, and the one thing I want to share about is going the extra mile. And we must go the extra mile. Why? God asked me and you to go the extra mile for more than one reason of helping someone. He's asking me and you to go the extra mile, not only to be a witness of who He is and who we are in Him, but go the extra mile so again that He can put you in the place of reception to bring you something. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, I want to share that one day I was driving down East-West Expressway, and there was a man hitchhiking. And at this period of time, the Lord had me picking up all hitchhikers wherever I went. And I had this 46 Chrysler black limousine, and it had Jesus in gold on both sides. Of course, it was from my old past when I used to have an antique limousine service, the old gangster days, you know. Now we're gangsters, we're gospel gangsters, right? Hallelujah. We're gangsters for Christ. Glory to God. So anyways, I was driving down the road, and it was in the wintertime, and I would always keep some clothes in my trunk. And at that time, I was just saved a few months, and, you know, I had just come out of the drug addiction world and lost everything, of course. And the Lord was beginning to restore certain things, and I was being able to put some pennies away and a little bit of change here and there and just enough for gas. And in fact, I had my baggie of change that I was using for gas that day right beside me in the front seat. So I'm driving down the road, and I see this man hitchhiking on the side of the road, and he was going to, he wanted to go to the turnpike and then get on 95. I think he was heading to Nebraska or somewhere. I forgot where it was. Of course, I wasn't heading that way. And I pick him up, and we start driving, and he was explaining to me that his son, who had been hit by a car, was in the hospital, and he had just heard he'd just gotten out of jail and living on the street and coalition and so forth. And so, he only had so much clothes with him. I mean, it was cold out. He had no jacket or nothing. And I said, well, look, I'm getting off at this exit, and, you know, the turnpike is here. You can just continue to hitchhike the rest of the way. And I realized that, you know, he didn't have anything, basically. He had a T-shirt on and a little bag of stuff and whatever. And so I pulled over to the side of the road to let him out, and the Lord said to me, give him a jacket. So I went to the back of my trunk, and I opened up the trunk, and the Lord said to me, he who asked you to go a mile, go two. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to bring him home, and I want you to feed him, and I want you to declare the truth with him. Then I want you to send him on his way. I said, okay. So I brought him home. In fact, we brought him into this house right here. And didn't look this way. Remember I said that I was just saved again. Things are starting to be restored. And sat down and fed him, declared the word with him, prayed with him, and prayed about his son. And he believed the Lord, and gave him a shower, clothed him, gave him extra clothes. I even gave him my favorite blankie. You know? And we went to my bag of change and just took a handful out and said, here, we'll split this. And drove him back to the turnpike area and let him go. And about 6 months later, I got a letter, and he was in jail. And he said that day changed his life by going that extra mile. Changed his life, and he decided to walk right before God that day. And he went and turned himself in after he went to go see his son, and his son was doing well. And he knew that God had answered the prayer. And he was going to do his time, and he wanted to be reconciled to his family and do the right thing. And he thanked me for the Bible and so forth. But to God be all the glory. There are times when God is asking me and you to go the extra mile. See, nobody was out there for anybody to see. Hello? Amen. It's not about going the extra mile in front of man. It's about going the extra mile before God. Because he's the one you're going the extra mile before. Would you turn to Matthew 5? And Matthew 5. Praise be to God. Going the extra mile. Hallelujah. There's a blessing in going the extra mile. Big blessings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In verse 41, in chapter 5 of Matthew, in verse 41, can we read this together? Hallelujah. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Verse 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. He's asking us to go that extra mile. He says compel. Now let me share something with you. Compel is a representation of force. When you and I are compelled, we got to force ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Now you may be compelled by compassion. You may be compelled by finances. You may be compelled by a desire. You may be compelled for some reason. And God's got a way of compelling me and you. In fact, He has compelled us by a desire. Did you ever know that at one specific time or another that you believed that God was sending you to a place for a specific reason? Well, He knew that He can compel you with that reason. All of a sudden, you went to that place and it was for something else. And I was like, well, Lord, I thought it was, no, this is what it's for. But He got you into that place, hello, so that His will could be done. And that's when He checks you out. He says, okay, are you going to do my will or yours? Now, you thought it was for this. You know, like you went to the store. You realized that there were certain things that you needed, groceries. Certain you wanted to make something that day, and you were compelled to go to the grocery store because you were compelled to fulfill what you wanted to do of making a recipe of some sort. So you go to the grocery store to go get what you needed to get, but somebody was there who needed witnessing. Somebody was there who needed help in some way or direction in some way. God has a way of getting us to the places, but that doesn't happen unless you have fellowship in the Spirit. Amen? You must have fellowship in the Spirit. So we see that compel is a way of forcing. And sometimes we have to force ourselves. We have to take dominion over our flesh and over our soul to go. Hallelujah. Now go to Matthew 27. Glory to God. In Matthew 27. Hallelujah. And this is where Jesus was being tormented and mocked by the soldiers. And in verse 27 it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. Now the whole garrison, that was a lot of soldiers. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed on his right arm. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on his beard, on his head, I'm sorry. And when they mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. In verse 32, now as they came out, they found a man of Syrian, Simeon by name. Him they compelled, say compelled, him they compelled to bear his cross. So they forced him to what? To carry his cross. Do you understand that you and I must be compelled? Because the Bible says that we must deny ourselves daily and be compelled or pick up the cross. Our cross. Amen? Our cross. Everyone here has a cross that they must pick up every single day. You must die daily to self. And you must pick up that cross. So you must be compelled. This man was compelled to carry the cross for Jesus. And we must also be compelled to carry the cross. He's talking about going an extra mile. Hello? We must compel, force, or discipline ourselves to go that extra mile. Because discipline maintains what? A relationship. And a relationship maintains a love affair. So see, even your walk and my walk with the Lord, we must go that extra mile. Because the Bible says, draw nigh to God and He draws nigh to you. This discipline, relationship, love affair is a representation of a revelation, a revealing of something. If we maintain discipline, you know what happens? Something gets revealed to me and you, doesn't it? All of a sudden, this revealing brings a confirmation of something. And when this revealing that God has given me and you, and we get confirmation of it, you can guarantee a manifestation. Something in the natural realm is about to happen. In other words, you knew you were supposed to go somewhere. That was a revealing to you. You had to compel yourself to hold on. You had to force yourself to hold on. You had to discipline yourself to hold on. The confirmation came. You went, and there was a manifestation in the natural realm. Something happened. Please understand that every time you go the extra mile, something is always going to happen. Every time. Every time. You know, when we do the outreaches, you are compelled. In fact, you might have heard the music. In fact, some didn't even hear the music. They just walked by and they saw us gathering out there. And you are compelled to come by and stop. In fact, sometimes we even had to force ourselves because we knew it was the right thing. It wasn't about a feeling. It was, man, you know, I know it's the right thing. I know the Lord has been tugging on me. And man, I, you know, I just got to force myself to go over there. And what happened is the music you heard, the lyrics you heard, or the preaching you heard gave you confirmation. And then there was a manifestation. God brought direction, God brought counsel, or God brought impartation. He brought deliverance. He brought healing. He brought freedom. Something happens when you go that extra mile, no matter what. Some of us are waiting for our families to get reconciled. Well, you know, as you continue to go that extra mile and you compel, you stay compelled, you force yourself to do the right things before God, you'll get confirmation and a manifestation will happen. It happens. Hallelujah. Now, of course, there is an opposite of compelling yourself. There is complacency. Laziness. Hello? You know, we must take dominion over these things because we can get into a lazy, satisfied, stale area of our life. Complacency. Complacency is a representation of self-satisfaction. Or self-satisfied. Okay, I'm all right now. I don't need any more. Man, when we get into that position, we're in trouble. You know, when we do the services at 33rd Street, and we go in there, and we see sometimes, man, the guys are hungry. Praise God. And you know, when you're hungry, it draws the presence of God. When you're not hungry, God's presence isn't there. So you have to compel yourself. You have to force yourself to stay hungry. You must. Now, what happens is then, all of a sudden, it is dead there. Dead. And it's like, and you're fighting as hard as you can. You know, in the spirit, you're fighting the voice of the stranger, and the devil's telling you, man, why don't you just leave this place? Ain't nothing happening. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you do that? But you must compel yourself. You cannot be complacent because that leads to self-satisfaction. Hello? Amen. That leads, well, I'm comfortable. I'm okay. And that leads to no more discipline. Removes discipline. See, the opposite of discipline is complacency. The opposite of discipline is complacency. Now you compromise. No way would you go the extra mile. No way would you think about giving up your bunk for somebody that might be hurting. No way would you think about picking up after somebody. No way would you be concerned, because now we are caught up in our own self and we know that that is demonic. Hello. That is demonic. So please understand, we must compel ourselves. We must be in a position to always go the extra mile. You never know what's going to, the outcome is going to be. You just don't know. Would you go to Mark 5? Hallelujah. And Mark chapter 5. Praise be to God. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Somebody there?
Amen.
Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. In other words, she kept bleeding. And had suffered many things from many physicians. Let me tell you, in those days, the physicians could hurt you. And they tried all sorts of things to help you. You know what I'm saying? Some of those things were just not... Did you ever know... I mean, they would bring... they would bleed people to make people think that, well, this would be a healing, to the, cleansing to the body. Unfortunately, people bled to death. They would... cauterize. They would do all sorts of things to try to bring healing to the body. So it says that this woman had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Everything she had. Everything. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Sounds like she was compelled, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to lose everything to get compelled again. And there's no need to. If we'll stay in that position of non-compromise, hungry, not lazy, taking dominion over your flesh and your soul, you won't fall back into that place. She spent everything she had. She lost everything. She had nothing to lose. She heard about somebody, this Jesus that was in town, and all the signs and wonders. Probably many of her friends came to her and said, you know, this man is a cult. You know, I mean, come on. God doesn't heal. And if he healed on the Sabbath, you can't go near him. He must be a cult. He must be from the devil. He can't be from God. But she lost everything and nothing was going to prevent her. She was compelled that she would be healed. And verse 28, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So see, she was healed before she even touched his clothes. So she got revelation that the healer was there. She got confirmation of seeing him. And she got the manifestation when she touched his garment. She was healed. Now, you and I need to do that in the spirit. Hello? We need to do that in the spirit. You get revelation through the word or through the spirit and through the spirit. You get confirmation through the word and through the spirit. And you get the manifestation through the Spirit. Hello? Because the Spirit is the one that's giving you the revelation. The Spirit is the one that's speaking you through the Word. And it's the Spirit that's trying to bring you to the place where He can get you. Amen? Because when He gets you, then He changes you. He's got to get you into that place. And this is exactly what happened to this woman. Let's go on. Immediately, the fountain... of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" That's all she needed to do, was touch his garment. That's it. Just touch his garment. But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Because so many people were bouncing off of him, but one of them was compelled and had the thirst and hunger and the faith to say, "Once I touch him, I'm going to be healed. Once I touch him, it's over with. Once I touch him," she probably was crawling on her hands and knees, going through all of these legs, because people were all trying to, they were bouncing off of him. And they knew, but no one else got healed. But she did, because she was compelled. She forced herself to go for it. Amen? Amen? Praise God. In verse 32, "And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well.'" Why? Faith is the substance of what? Hope. Things hoped for. She knew. See, she was already healed in the spirit. Now she was just going to go receive it. He said to her, "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You know how many people go to a healing service? In other words, you get testimonies. You see Benny Hinn on TV. We're at the service, and you hear that the Lord, you hear testimonies of the people when they get healed. They said, "The Lord told me to come here." In other words, they got revelation. They got confirmation when they went there and they saw people getting healed. And what happened? They got healed. Hello? Because the Spirit told them, the Spirit confirmed it, and the Spirit manifested, and they were healed. She was compelled. And let me tell you, during this time of compelling, the devil's going to try and prevent you from getting there. That man that picked up Jesus' cross. Oh, he was looking all around. People were going, "Man, what are you doing? That man's a sinner. Why are you picking up his cross?" He was probably mocked and spit on while he was carrying Jesus' cross. He was being tormented all the way too while Jesus was walking to get crucified. And that man was carrying the cross. You know why? Because the same thing that happens with Jesus in mocking and torment and sufferings is going to happen to you. So that man was carrying the same cross Jesus was carrying, and he's asking me and you to carry that same cross, and he went that extra mile. And let me tell you, that man most likely was born again. I don't know whatever happened to that man. And I'm not going to go into the teaching that happened to that man. But I can tell you, because he bore the cross of Jesus, that man, he was born again, saved, and probably a servant of the Lord. Hello? Praise be to God. You know, this woman would not accept what the world had to tell her. And you can't accept what the world is telling you. Amen. If you want to go that extra mile. Because the world will tell you, you'll be home, you'll be late for dinner. The world will tell you, well, what about you? What are you going to get out of it? The world is going to mock you for walking right before God. They're going to call you self-righteous for going that extra mile. But it's the righteousness of Christ that's within us. Hello? Let's go to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Glory to the Lamb. Glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I love it when Paul said, "I didn't come to you with good speech. I came to you with the power of the Holy Ghost." And that's what Jesus is trying to do, bring us in position where the power of God is in our life. So sometimes we got to go the extra mile. You know, a snake got to keep swarming and swarming and swarming. You know what it does is it's going along the ground, it's removing its skin. Sometimes it's got to keep going and going and going and can't get rest until its skin is shed. The Lord tells us that we need to put on a new wineskin, don't we? Sometimes that wineskin doesn't come until we go that extra mile. Why? So He can stretch us. In some of our praise and worship services, when the Holy Spirit says, go a little bit longer, go a little bit longer, you know what happens? Your flesh is screaming, man, I don't want this. When are we going to stop? Oh! The soul's going, oh, woe is me. I can't sing another breath. The Holy Ghost is saying, one more breath so I can put one more me of you in you. So, hello. Man, I don't want to dance. I'll mess my hair up. I'm like, Neil, are you kidding? Neil, I might wrinkle my pants. And the Lord is saying, go that extra mile. Go that extra mile. Well, what would people say? They might be thinking I'm real foolish. What did they say when you were out there on the street using? What did they say when you were caught up in fornication? What did they say when you couldn't pay your bills? And everybody, when your house was in foreclosure and you were begging for bread? What did they say then? Now we're all of a sudden so concerned about how we might act. About dancing before God. Well, what's happening is the Holy Ghost is trying to compel you to go that extra mile in the Spirit so He can get something to you. Hello. You know, even though you might be Spirit-filled and walking in the Spirit and so forth, let me tell you, you can get bound to religion. Next thing you know, you're quenching the Holy Ghost. So He's trying to compel us to go that extra mile in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Luke 10 and verse 30. Luke 10 and verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, he was a priest. Hello. Religion. Religion is afraid to get its hands involved. Get his hands dirty. Religion. And verse 32. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. One who has fellowship with the Lord. Wow. But a certain Samaritan, now the Samaritans had no relationship with the Jews, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come back, I will repay you. And Jesus said, so which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who shows mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. What did he do? He went the extra mile. He went the extra mile. God isn't looking at who you are, where you've been, or what you've been doing. He's asking you to go the extra mile. We cannot get so caught up in ourselves that we're not willing to go that extra mile. We can't get so caught up that now we're clean, washed by the blood, Now we have knowledge. Now we know how to worship the Lord. Now we know how to preach the gospel. That you can't humble yourself and go that extra mile, and that's what it's about. You know, one day, I was out running around getting some stuff done, and I pulled in this gas station, and I went to get use the phone there because I didn't have a cellular phone. Remember, I was telling you things were being restored now, and so I went and called my wife to check in to see what was happening, and I saw. You know how they have the gas stations in the little store right there where you walk in? And I saw a pair of legs in the corner near the door. And I thought, whoa, am I seeing something? And I told my wife I'd call her back, and I hung up, and I walked over there, and there was a body in the corner of the door, and I saw that the feet were bare. And I could see that she was a black woman, and she was laying there, and her head was covered, but she was facing, you know, right in the corner, laying down on the sidewalk, right next to the door, leaning against the wall. And my heart sunk. And I saw people opening the door and just walking by. And I didn't understand. And I was going, Lord, what is this? What's going on? And I walked over there. And I tapped on her shoulder. And she turned around to me. When she turned around to me, one of her eyes was missing. And she sat up, and my heart was going, Lord, please help me. What do you want me to do? Lord, please help me. And I began to talk with her, and you know, I was so compelled, whatever she wanted, you know, the Lord just shared with me, whatever she wants, give to her. Whatever she wants. So I sat up and I shared with her how much the Lord loves her. And I said, let's pray. And her hands were crippled, but she was able to put her two hands together and she prayed to the Lord. Man, it ripped me apart. Ripped me apart. And it was cold out. I mean, it was cold. And she had no shoes or socks. And she said to me, and I asked her and I said, what can I do for you? And she said, I need some shoes. And the Lord said, take yours off. And I thought, Lord? I'm on my way to a business meeting. I can't show up at this meeting barefoot. I mean, they'd throw me out. And the Lord said, give her what she wants. And I said, okay. So I took off my shoe and I said, let me see your foot. Of course they fit. And he said, the socks too. And I said, okay, Lord. So I took my socks and shoes off and I put them on her feet. And he said to her, ask her. He said to me, ask her again, what does she want? And I said, what do you want? And I can see she had a little cigarette butt, like one she had been savoring up on her top of her chest. And the Lord said, give her $10 and tell her to get what she wants. It didn't even matter whether it was cigarettes or not. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter. Now, I'm the one who was against cigarettes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like, but the Lord said, whatever she wants, give her the money. And I said, okay. And tell her I love her. And I did that, and she told me that she was living on the back of a porch of her sister's and so forth. So I got in a car, turned on the heat because my feet were cold. I needed to go home and get some more money and put on some shoes and socks so I could go to this meeting. But my heart was devastated and I cried out to the Lord and I realized, I said, Lord, because there are so many of them, what do we do with them all? And out of my foolishness, I prayed, oh Lord, please, when the rapture comes, take them home first. Take them home. But of course, you know, you can't go against the word of God. He says the dead in Christ will rise first. But I asked him, Lord, please take them home first. And I came home and I was devastated. My wife, because I called her back and I told her I was headed home and she was going to make lunch. I couldn't even eat. For 2 days, by going that extra mile, That changed me. Changed me. Reminded me where I came from. Broke me of the place and position I was in. And reminded me of where I came from. And it gave me much gratitude for what God has done for me. And it also gave me more compassion for those who are on the street and who need our help. Amen. So God's got a way of changing us. The Holy Ghost compelled me to go that extra mile. Why? So He can change me more and more into the image of the one who came here and rescued us, known as Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, praise God. God is good. Being compelled. Amen. And being compelled in your finances. Being compelled. You know, one day the Lord said to me, now, we didn't have much in our account in the ministry, and I knew the Lord wanted to bless us. And I just felt that in my spirit in the morning when I was praying. And the Lord said to me, I want you to bless this ministry and write a $1,000 check and send it. And I said, well, Lord, if this is your will, then I would have the address of where to send it. He said to me, I want you to go to the morning breakfast that they have at Full Gospel Businessmen, and he'll be there. And when you see him, write the check. I said, all right. So I went, I had the check, didn't write anything yet. It was in my pocket. And I went, and I was compelled to go. Hello. I went there and I thought, oh, Lord, $1,000 you want me to write? How are we going to survive this? I mean, you know, but he kept imparting in me. It's for your good. I want to bless you. All right. Well, halfway through the breakfast, he didn't show up. I said, well, I guess that wasn't God. Next thing I know, he shows up. Well, with joy and gladness, well, something happened, because when he showed up, I thought, whoa, Lord, something's about to happen. So I wrote the check and blessed him. This was on a Friday. That Monday, somebody came to my house and gave me a $4,700 or $4,800 check. I forgot what it was, but it was $4,700 or $800 and blessed us. And I said, thank you, Lord. See, sometimes God has got to compel us to get into these positions so that He can bless us. You know, He's been compelling us to come in to the ministry to get help. When we're out there fighting and fighting and fighting, saying, no, 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 there must be another way. He's saying, no, that's this way. It's this way. It's this way. It's this. Doesn't He say, walk this way? This way, walk in it? This way. So sometimes God compels us to do things. Why? Because it's for our own good. Remember we shared Friday night about, you know, when people say, well, doesn't God force you? Yes, He forces you. He forces you. I mean, He doesn't force you to the degree, you know, but He compels you. Another name of God forcing us is He's compelling us. Why? Because it's for our own good. And it's just like what was shared. Don't you make your children put their shoes on when they go outside? Don't you make them eat when it's time for the eat? Don't you? So that's called compelling them. Amen. Why? Because it's for their own good. Now would you turn to Galatians 5, please? Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to go the extra mile from now on.
Amen.
We're going the extra mile. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. There is rewards in going the extra mile. There is blessings when you go the extra mile.
Amen.
It may not happen instantaneously. But you know what happens after you do it? It's like, oh. And the comfort of the Holy Spirit comes and His peace comes, doesn't it? Oh, I'm glad that's done. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through it. And thank you for shedding a little bit more of my flesh. Thank you, Lord.
Pastor, yesterday the
Praise God. And, you know, Byron just gave a testimony about going the extra mile.
Amen.
Yep. And when we go the extra mile, even at work, we're not doing it before men, we're doing it before God. So when you go the extra mile, even at work, God blesses you. He puts you in another position. Sometimes you've been out laboring pretty hard for a little bit. Next thing you know, because you're going the extra mile, He puts you in an easier position, even with more money. Hallelujah. In Galatians 5, in chapter 7, I mean verse 7. In Galatians 5, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. Everybody there? Praise God. Read this together. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Hello? You were doing good. You ran well. You were doing the truth. You were going the extra mile. You were laboring unto the Lord. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Verse 8. This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, that's all it takes is one little corruptible seed. And it begins to contaminate the rest of it. That's all you need to do is somebody says, man, why are you doing that for this person? Why are you going? Do you ever have people come up to you at work and say, you know what, brother? You're working too much. You bring in other words, now I got to work too much. Hello? So they're trying to hinder you from doing the right thing before God because of their own selfishness, because they're scamming. And if they're scamming at work, they're scamming in every part of their life. You know, and you can tell that even someone is a believer. Yeah, man, I'm a believer. I know Jesus. And they're scamming at work. They don't know the Lord. They're a liar. And they're deceived. They're bound by religion. And they don't know the Lord. Because someone who has a true walk with God goes the extra mile. In all things. Amen. And verse 10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Hallelujah. Don't be persuaded by man or devil. God sent you on a course. Pursue it. Continue to pursue it. Don't let anything interfere with God has caused you to do. You must constantly pursue it because the devil is trying to hinder you. Pursuing it is also a representation of going the extra mile. Hello?
Amen.
In other words, when people go to college, they can't just skim through college and expect to pass. They have to go extra mile to do studying. Some have to do extra studying, don't they? Well, sometimes we need to do extra studying. Sometimes if there's something involved in your life, you need to go the extra mile to find out how. You need to go extra mile in prayer to find out what. You need to go the extra mile to get free. To get free. Some people don't get free yet because they're not willing to go the extra mile, and that's a representation of total surrender, isn't it? Hallelujah. Let's go to Numbers 25. Numbers 25. Praise be to God. Numbers chapter 25. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for empowering us and imparting us to go that extra mile because you want to bless us. Thank you, Lord. In Numbers 25 and verse 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was what? Zealous with my zeal among them. So that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. In other words, he stepped out and prayed extra. He stepped out and went a little bit further. He went that extra mile to rescue someone. In verse 12, therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of what? So he made that promise. The covenant is a representation of promise. He made that with him. He said, give him my peace. And it shall be to him and to his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. What a reward. Being zealous for God makes me and you go that extra mile. One day, my wife and I, we had just come from New Mexico, and there was a guy there who was a nurse who was bound by drugs and alcohol, and he wouldn't receive counsel. And so we found out more that he was getting worse, and my wife and I got on our knees, and we prayed to the Lord, and we interceded and interceded and interceded and asked the Lord to rescue him. That day, he got found out at work, and his boss overheard somebody talking about him and his drug abuse. And his boss went in and asked about his drug abuse, and then he called him in his office. And they set him into a drug place that day. Amen. And that day, my wife and I touched and agreed. We went the extra mile to intercede for this man, and the Lord moved. And that day, that's all it takes. In Matthew 26, hallelujah. Go that extra mile. In Matthew 26. Praise be to God. In Matthew 26 and verse 36. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now listen, Jesus took the three with him out of the 12 that were closest to him. Hello? That would stand in the gap for him. Okay, hello? Does everybody get that? Why? Jesus was just getting ready to go. He said, look, you three stay here. I'm going over here. He wanted them to see him pray, and he wanted them to pray for him and intercede for him. Is everybody with me? Okay. In verse 38, am I there yet? Okay. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. In other words, pray with me. He went a little further and fell down on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He was asking them, he was compelling them to pray 1 hour. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Then the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak to the things of God. But it's strong to the things of the devil, isn't it? In verse 42, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy, so he left them. He said, okay, I got to do this on my own. Let me share something with you. You must do it on your own. Hello? You must be the one to be compelled. You must do it. No one else can do it for you. The Bible says that everyone must work out his own salvation. You must work it out. You must be the one that's willing to go the extra mile. Just because your friends or even your brothers or sisters in Christ don't want to go the extra mile, you must be the one to go. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 43, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Saying, listen, what if Jesus wasn't compelled to go all the way? Where would we be? He could have just said, okay, I'm going home. I don't want to do this. But he said, not my will, your will, Lord. So please understand, thank you, Jesus, for being zealous for God and going all the way for me and you. In 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 9. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. And verse 24. Chapter 9 and verse 24. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's read this. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we go for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to the others, I myself become disqualified. Ooh. So we must be compelled to run this race. We must be compelled to discipline our flesh. We must be compelled. Amen? Turn to Revelation 2. Compelled for that race, for the upward call that we have. Glory to God. And Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A couple more scriptures and you'll be a new creation. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. A new creation today. Remember, a new creation yesterday don't mean nothing about today. Today we need to be the new creation. We can't rely on what we were yesterday.
Amen?
Amen? We can't rely on that. Revelation 2 and verse 2. Jesus sent the letter to the churches. In verse 2 it says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, hello, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, you notice how Jesus brings encouragement in first? Then he says, okay, it's time for correction. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. We must compel ourselves not to get caught up in the works of the Lord, but to be caught up in a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Hello? We must not lose our first love, and that's Him. Praise God. Let's go to Titus. why we're in this area. Titus. It's under T's. Titus 2. Titus 2. Praise God. In Titus 2, in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Whoa. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's me and you. We must be compelled. We must be zealous for good works. We must be compelled to go forward and go that extra mile. And I want to end with this scripture in Revelation 3:19. Revelation 3, in chapter 9, and verse 19. Revelation 3:19. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be what?
Zealous.
Compelled. And repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And God is calling us today to be compelled, to be willing to go the extra mile, to do the right thing, to not be so bound up to our own agendas, but to be about his business and truth, spirit, and in power. So we're all new creations in Christ today. Should be manifesting. We've had revelation, we've had confirmation, now expect a manifestation. May the Lord bless and guide each and every one of us today and protect the seed that's been imparted in us in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.